Hello, Saints. Todd here with SafeguardYourSoul.com. Thank you so much for tuning in. We are so blessed to have these moments together in the Word of God. And remember, Saints, there's nothing happening on God's planet that is even remotely as important as the work of the gospel and feeding the sheep of Jesus Christ, for whom He died to save, so that they can grow in grace, they can be edified, they can be equipped for the work of the ministry according to the scriptures. And let me just guarantee you this one thing: by the grace of God, this outreach will continue to unapologetically endeavor to preach the whole of the Word of God, regardless of who gets offended or not, in Jesus' name. And please remember that your prayers and support are vital to this operation. Thank you. Let's talk about proper submission in the body of Christ, namely who we should submit to and who we should not submit to according to Scripture. Now, remember that the remnant body of Christ is Christ's church or people. Remember, the word church means the called out people. Jesus didn't come to die for religious organizations, but for sinners. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, 1 Timothy 1:15. And the word church means the called out ones, or the people whom Jesus has saved. It doesn't refer to a church organization or business as we so often see it referred to as today. So the remnant body of Christ is Christ's people. So they aren't looking for a church. They refuse to be a part of the fake church, the fake fellowships, the use of fake Bibles. They are the church, that is, the called out people of God. They already have and are open to fellowshipping with any other born again believer who's bought by the blood of Jesus Christ and lives his life with the Bible as his final divine authority. This is the way they forsake not the assembling of themselves together, as Hebrews 10:25 refers to and speaks of, which we're going to read in just a minute. So the true body of Christ has come out from among them, from all the stage shows, the entertainment centers called churches run by greedy wolves, and they, that is the remnant body of Christ, are experiencing authentic, organic fellowship daily, as did the earliest believers and followers of Jesus Christ, Acts chapter 2 speaks of, etc. Their lives, that is, the lives of the individual members of Christ's remnant body, they're all about Jesus Christ, and they will not bid Godspeed to the wolves He so often warned us about. For example, let me get this straight. Some people, I should say, claim to be following Jesus and yet are not involved in reaching the lost with the gospel. How does that work? Well, it doesn't work according to Scripture. Mark 1:17, Jesus said, "And Jesus said unto them, Come ye after me." In other words, follow me, and what's going to happen next? "And I will make you to become fishers of men." So anyone that is born again and following Jesus, which would be paramount to abiding in Christ and bearing the fruit that brings glory to Him and the Father, John 15, is doing what? They're fishers of men. They're involved in the Great Commission. They may not be the guy on the street corner with the microphone, and thank God for those brothers who are preaching the true gospel, but they're involved in prayer. They're involved in support of numerous different variations, including helping to fund those outreaches. So, hint, if they aren't executing Christ's Great Commission command, they are all about themselves and perpetuating their own existence, their own church existence, and they're not of God, according to Scriptures. All who are following Christ are on a mission for Him, and He's with them as He promised. Jesus said, "Lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world," unquote. This is Jesus speaking in the end of the book of Matthew when He gave us the Great Commission. It says this, verses 18 through 20, the last three verses of the book of Matthew. "And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Matthew 28:18-20. So the true body of Christ is known in that they live for Christ every day. They live for eternity with Christ, and not the fleeting trinkets of this passing world. In fact, the Bible says, if any man love this world, the love of the Father is not in him. No, they live to obey Jesus Christ because he is their first love. And they refuse to allow any church, any pastor, or any falsehood to come between them and Christ. Notice Revelation 22:17, and the Spirit, that's the capital S, Holy Spirit, and the bride, that's referring to the remnant bride of Christ, the body of Christ, say, come. Notice what you see here. The Holy Spirit is leading the true body of Christ not to go to church. No, he's leading them to say, to invite the lost to come, and let him that heareth say, come, and let him that is athirst come, and whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. So again, saints, right here in the Bible, Revelation 22:17, we see that the true bride of Christ is actively, integrally involved, not in being a good church member, but by evangelizing the lost. They are saying, come to the lost, empowered by the Holy Spirit. I want you to get to know Revelation 22:17 very well, my friends. So, can anyone find the instruction here or elsewhere in the Word of God that tells us that assembling together must be in a specific designated official church building on Sunday morning? No, there's nowhere that the Bible hints of such. And yet we see the misuse of the scriptures by many false prophets, the many that we were warned would multiply and would deceive many in the final days. By Jesus, that warning came forth. Matthew 7:15, Matthew 24:11, etc. Notice Hebrews 10:25 says, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. First of all, there's no mention of a certain church building in this verse. There's no mention of Sunday morning in this verse. And so anybody who's trying to pigeonhole you into believing that true assembling and fellowshipping with other believers happens at their little church circus club on Sunday morning is deceiving you. They're playing you. In fact, church membership, as we see it perpetrated today, has no association with biblical Christianity at all. In fact, anyone who's trying to get you to become a member of their church is seeking to defraud, to exploit, and to monetize you, exactly as Peter the Apostle, by the power of the Holy Spirit, the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, forewarned us in 2 Peter 2:1-3, where he says that false prophets and false teachers are going to make merchandise of you. I mean, stop for a second. If I meet you and you meet me, and we both understand and agree and bear witness that we're both blood-bought, born-again disciples of Jesus, why would it be anything but fraudulent for one of the two of us to try to sign the other one up to some other extra-biblical, extra-church, if you will, external organization, when we're both grounded and founded in Christ as our identity, bought by his blood, filled with his Spirit? Why would there be any further need to become a member of anything else, of some fraternal order, or country club that so many call the church today? We know there's still a very few pastors who are operating biblically, and in spite of that, they have a certain meeting place on Sunday morning, such as a church building. So this doesn't go for all gatherings and buildings on Sunday morning, but I will tell you this, friends, 99% of what's going on Sunday mornings in those church buildings is absolutely false. And so many who are unlearned in the scriptures swear that they have a biblical church, and they don't even know the scriptures themselves. So how are they going to know whether or not they're being deceived or not? Well, they're not. And Satan's had 6,000 years to perfect, to hone his skills on how to deceive mankind, how to deceive God's people. The Bible says, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge because they have rejected knowledge." Hosea chapter 4, verse 6. The Bible commands you, friend, to get in the word for yourself. And if you don't, you will be deceived. 2 Timothy 2:15 says, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." So in this message, we're talking about two things: what real assembling actually means, and what it's made of, if you will, what it constitutes, what's involved in it, and also who to submit to and who not to submit to. And on that point, let me ask you a question. Let me get this straight. Your pastor, who you think's a man of God, isn't leading people to Jesus in his personal life outside of the little church building stage show, and yet you think this man is a man of God? Well, this is a stage show alert. The Bible says, do the work of an evangelist. And that's what Paul was instructing his understudy in ministry to do. That was Timothy, 2 Timothy 4:5. He told him to preach the word and preach it in season and out of season, to reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure or hold themselves accountable to sound doctrine, but after their own lust, they will heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and will be turned unto fables or storytelling, and will be turned away from the truth. And then he says, do the work of an evangelist. Not only preach the word, the pure word of God, but do the work of an evangelist. So if your pastor isn't leading people to Jesus in his daily personal life, you better run for your life, because he is a false teacher. He's staging a ministry. He's building a church business by farming his community, by seeing how many members he can continue to build up, because it's all a business model they learned in seminary, and most people have no clue about that. See, once they get you to sign up as a member of their church, it follows that you feel more loyal to and obligated to, and so now you're going to give your money to that organization. And yet, the earmarked fruits of a true elder are not visible, they're not evident, they're absent from that fellowship. Let's talk about that as we come to a close here. Hebrews 13, verse 7 and 17 is often used to get people to submit to certain pastors who have set up a church business organization, and they're trying to use the scriptures to manipulate you to become a member. But let's actually look at verse 7 and 17 of Hebrews 13, the passages that are so often used to get people to submit to these false pastors. And you're going to see who's false and who's true here as we read these two. They're both in the same chapter. I want you to become and have a working knowledge of Hebrews 13, verses 7 and 17. Makes it easy to remember. They're both in the same chapter, verse 7 and 17 of Hebrews 13. Here we go, verse 7. Remember them that have the rule over you. In other words, those you've submitted yourself to in Christ for the glory of God, not for the benefit of mere men. Remember them which have the rule over you. Watch this. Who have spoken unto you the word of God. Now notice, true men of God that you're to submit to and give, allow them to have the rule over you, if you will, submitted one to another too, by the way, Ephesians 5:21. They do what? How do you know who they are, if they're true or false? How do you know if they're true or false? Who have spoken unto you the word of God. Now, just today, a good brother in Christ, you might recall Brother Jeremy, about 3 years ago now, called from Canada to talk, and he was ready to get saved. And we were going to pray right there that day on the phone, and he said, let me get my heart right, and I'm going to call you next week, and we're going to pray together. Well, he sure did. He's a man of his word. He's a godly man. What a blessing. He called the next week, and we went through a prayer, and he repented completely, laid down his life, and received Christ as the Lord and Savior of his life. Well, he told me today on the phone when he called that he had visited a fellowship recently, and one of the good marks that that fellowship, at least the guy he told me about, he said an older brother in Christ took him aside and gave him all kinds of scripture to read, chapters in the Bible, etc. And let me tell you, Jeremy is a Bible student and has grown immensely in the grace of Christ and in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ in the last 3 years since Jesus saved him. We talk on the phone at least once a week at length, and it's always a rich fellowship. And so I shared with him that it was a blessing that whoever that guy was that took him aside and gave him scripture, that's a good brother in Christ, apparently. He's rich in the scriptures, and he's getting Jeremy further in the scriptures. He's not trying to indoctrinate him into some kind of system of doctrines of men. He's not trying to get him to join the church. He's getting him to the throne of God. And the way you get to the throne of God is you study God by reading God's word for yourself. Remember, you do it. You study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Most people just want to go to a church and have the pastor tell them all about God. They don't have any heart for God at all, and they're going to hell. They don't know Jesus. They don't want to know him. They just want some pastor to approve them and say, hey man, you're a member of the church, you're going to heaven. That's what we got going on all over the Western world. And so anyway, this is a good sign. I don't know anything about that fellowship other than what he told me, and that's a good sign. You see, ladies and gentlemen, men of God are going to get your nose in the Word of God. They're going to drill down on that truth until you either leave or you repent and get in the Word yourself. If we don't have a heart after God, if we're not seeking the Lord and His strength and seeking His face continually, we don't have anything but dead religion and a facade, a formula, a form, a formality, an outward show of godliness. And we are in need of repentance because we're full of the God of ourself. We still serve the God of self. We've never repented and aren't bearing the fruit, the earmarked fruits that clearly demonstrate that we love the Lord, we're known of Him, and we're abiding in Christ through the crucified life daily. And the Word of God is front and center in our lives. We're becoming more and more grounded in Christ through the Scriptures. So that's what you want to look for. First of all, I want to encourage you as your brother in Christ, this is my opinion, after decades of looking for a good, don't look for a good church, be the church. In fact, let me talk about that for a minute. When Brother Jeremy, who I'm just talking about just a moment ago, called and got saved, he wasn't instructed to go find a church. He was instructed to walk as a disciple of Jesus every day, all by himself and with the fellowship of other believers daily, not weekly. And so that's why he began his walk with Christ on the right foot, if you will. He became entrenched in Christ. He didn't go to be thrown to the dogs by submitted to one of the many false prophets that are among us and are deceiving so many, as we were warned about so often in Scripture. No, he sought the Lord from that day forward, and he's become grounded and becomes more grounded daily in Christ because he's in the Word himself. And if he listens to somebody, he's listening for the Scriptures. If he doesn't see the Scriptures and hear the Scriptures, he knows that he's not to submit to people who aren't speaking the Word of God, A to Z. So that covers verse 7. Men of God that you're to submit to, first of all, they don't have to have a building, a piece of real estate that they preside over. That doesn't make them official. The Mormons and the Catholics have real estate that is multiplying every day, and it is in the trillions of dollars. They're both false. And so is much of that, most of that, which claims to be Jesus's representatives in the earth today and have their church buildings. Beware, saints. There are many false prophets, and they're set to deceive you. 1 John 4:1, beloved, believe not every spirit. That's a command. Do not believe every spirit, but try or test the spirits to see whether they're of God. For many false prophets are going out among you. you. 1 John 4:1. And how do we test them? Here we go, right here. Hebrews 13:7-17. Verse 7, they preach only the pure word of God, and you're studying along with them and comparing everything they say, like the Bereans did when Paul preached in Acts 17:10-11. Number 2, verse 17, here it is, Hebrews 13:17. Obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, here it is, for they watch for your souls. Let me ask you something. Every one of us who's been a part of these church-building-centered church organizations and businesses, better known by the discerning as circuses, are they really watching for your soul? Really, come on. Did you experience men that were truly watching over your soul, praying for you daily, instructing you, warning you, admonishing you, exhorting you, and rebuking you when it was necessary and appropriate, calling you to repent, telling you what the Bible actually says about sin? See, that's what constitutes watching for your souls. And you're going to see almost none of that ever in church building based organizations. And so you're not to submit to them, but to become a member of the organic body of Christ who follows Jesus and fellowships daily and richly, first and foremost, on the basis of the apostles' doctrine, which we now have in print on record in the 27 books of the New Testament scriptures. The earliest believers in Christ, Acts 2:42, another important scripture for you to embrace, Acts 2:42, they continued steadfastly, that is, the earliest followers of Jesus, in the apostles' doctrine. That's the doctrine Jesus gave to the apostles, who gave it to the world, and they gave it to the world now thereafter in printed form, so that we have it in tangible written form. So they continued steadfastly, and it was daily, by the way, in the apostles' doctrine, in fellowship, in breaking of bread, and in prayer. That's the simple elements of true fellowship. In Colossians 3:16, also the Bible says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly or abundantly, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Now, tell me, why would that take a church building? Why would that take a certain physical building run by a certain bunch of wolves on Sunday morning? I'm just asking some obvious questions here. Well, the fact is that it doesn't take a church building. In fact, if you only become religious when you go to a church building on Sunday morning, that's further proof that you need to repent. Let me just say this, friend. 1 Timothy 4:1-2 says that in the last days, the Holy Spirit speaks expressly or explicitly and specifically that some shall depart from the faith. Those who have left, like myself and most of you out there that listen to these podcasts, you've left the apostate modern church world. Why? Not because you were leaving Christ. No, just the opposite. Because you wanted to preserve your relationship with Christ, and you saw, because you're a student of Scripture, that the apostate modern church is departed from the faith of the gospel. The Bible says in Jude verse 4 that we're to earnestly contend for the faith once delivered to the saints. Amen. So we see in Hebrews 13:7-17 that true men of God, that if you submit to, you're going to do so because they're definitely authentic, genuine men of God, elders that don't need a pulpit, they don't need a building, they don't have to put on the church act on Sunday morning in some building. No, they live their life for Christ, and they've been in Christ a little bit longer than you, and so they're full of the word of God, and they're pointing your nose and your beautiful eyes that God gave you straight on into the real Bible for English people, the King James Bible, on a daily basis. They're not frauds. They're not disingenuous. They're 100% authentic. They fast and pray. They seek God. They lift you in prayer every day, and that brings us to the second point. They watch for your souls. I don't know why and how we miss these earmarked truths in Hebrews 13:7-17 for so many years. But let's spread this to the body of Christ, saints. This is vital. We should never submit one to another with any elder that is, first of all, trying to get you to become their church member. That's a false prophet right off the bat. Look at the church membership category on safeguardyoursoul.com on the desktop version, right side drop-down menu. Click C. It'll go down to the C's. The has over 200 categories. One of those categories is the church membership category. Check it out. It's absolutely explosive. All right. So a man who stands up to entertain you, to give you his usual Sunday morning feel-good sermonette, is not preaching the word of God to you and is not watching over your eternal soul. He is a circus conductor. He's a wolf. And we know that because he's not preaching on sin. He's not preaching on the absolute necessity of personal holiness, on the absolute necessity of initial and ongoing repentance as needed, on fasting and prayer. And he's not preaching on the crucified life, the daily cross that Jesus said you must take up in order to follow him, right? I mean, talk to me about how many pastors in church buildings are preaching on the cross life, on the crucified daily life. Boom. Case closed. 100% false. Any man who is not telling you that Jesus Christ commands and requires that you lay down your life in this world, you flee the lust of the flesh, you die the death daily so that Christ himself, who is the resurrection and the life, John 11:25, is raising you up into the victory that only he can raise you up in over all sin. Such a man is a false teacher. Any man that's not teaching the crucified life, any man who's not involved daily in the great commission of winning lost souls and of feeding the flock of God with the pure word of God, any man who's not preaching hell, etc., is absolutely a fraud. He's preaching another gospel according to Galatians 1. And yet he wants you to become his little church member. He wants you to become his little pawn. He wants you to assemble with that concoction of that fabrication of false believers while he peddles half-truths and fables. He's a storyteller. He's not preaching the original gospel. And let me encourage you, friend, to refuse to become a pawn of Satan's wolves. Most of today's pastors who use Hebrews 13:7-17 to get you to submit are not doing these things that are pointed out in verse 7-17 of Hebrews 13. They're not preaching the word. They're not praying over you, rebuking you, and watching over your soul by preaching the full counsel of God unapologetically. Therefore, they do not qualify to be submitted to. Run for your life. When we are in true fellowship with other of Christ's saints, God's word is not an afterthought sprinkled in here or there. No, it's front and center. As we close, I'm going to read a quote from dear sister Barbara Cook. She says this: greed and control characterize the majority of churches in churchianity today in this country. They are run like family businesses, like country clubs, teaching false unbiblical doctrines that help perpetuate their businesses. It's relatively easy to get new customers or members, church members, when so many are seeking love and relationships today instead of seeking first Christ and his kingdom, Matthew 6:33. Sister Barbara finishes, she says, these country club churches give a sense of belonging that humans crave, but it is a cult of personality, performance, and quote-unquote fake fellowship. Activities they have to keep the merchandised too amused and too busy to read their Bibles for themselves, unquote. Amen. Amen. One more quote from beloved brother and a close friend of mine, elder in Christ, Stacy Strother. He says this, he says, so many depend on another man to do everything for them. See what I mentioned earlier about people that are church members and church attenders? They just want the pastor to tell them what God says. And in 99% of the cases, the pastors are false and are peddling another gospel, not the original gospel. So Brother Stacy says, so many people depend on another man to tell them everything about God. Each to their own is the calling that is placed on all of us individually. Folks will be held accountable for burying their gift or talent and leaving it all to the preacher, who the pastors, that is, who are at fault many times themselves, because they don't teach the people to be Christ-centered rather than preach
nature-centered, like most are. Stacy continues, we must stop being an ingrown church and become an outgrown church. Remember, Jesus didn't tell sinners to go to church. He told the church to go to the sinners. Amen. Brother Stacy continues. He says, I can't find anywhere in God's word where we are commanded to keep bringing people in to just hear another single preacher, what he has and what he has to say. I do find in the Bible where individually we are commanded to go out and preach and teach the word of God and win people to Jesus, and then teach all them about God and to get in the word for themselves. Amen. Stacy continues. So much is laid at the feet of the pastor. It's a shame in worldwide Christianity, especially America. We are taught to, quote, come listen to my pastor, unquote, rather than to, quote, sit here, friend, and listen to me give you the word of God. Let's read it together, unquote. And Brother Stacy finishes, he says, take Philip, the deacon, for example, speaking to the Ethiopian eunuch. He didn't say to the Ethiopian eunuch, hey, I hear you reading from the Bible. Can you go with me to talk to Brother Paul about that? Unquote? No. And many of you know this passage in Acts 8, 26 through 40. Philip began right there and taught him, he taught the Ethiopian eunuch who was reading out of the book of Isaiah about Jesus, and then led him to Jesus right there on the spot and baptized him. The Spirit then caught Philip away. The next thing you know, Philip is 40 miles away preaching in a town called Azotus. Amen. Check that out. That's an exciting passage, and we learn so much from it, beloved. Acts 8, 26 through 40. May God bless us, each of us, beloved, to be individual, organic members of His body, loving, edifying, and whatever else it takes in fellowship with other believers anywhere we are every day. Again, we're not looking for the church. We are the church. Let's become the church as Jesus has ordained and as we see on the pages of Scripture, namely in the book of Acts. In Jesus' name, amen.
Well, brothers and sisters, it's been a blessing to spend these moments with you in the Word of God. And remember, there's hundreds of more Christ-centered, Scripture-rich, edifying podcasts on safeguardyoursoul.com/audios. There's also a store page with several many books on there for your edification in Christ. They're all Scripture-rich and Christ-centered. Also, tens of thousands of saints and sinners are being reached every month, and your prayers are coveted for the fruitfulness and supply of this outreach. God be praised, by the way, for those who are supporting. And feel free to visit our donate page on the site, and you can use your debit card, PayPal, or Patreon, and you can become a monthly sustaining member if you choose to do so, and a gift of any amount is so appreciated. Part of this outreach is to equip and supply other ministering disciples across our great country and all over the world. And may God be praised that there's fruitfulness happening among His people and through His beloved saints, as we know that the return of our Lord Jesus Christ draws nigh. And we say together in the words of Revelation 22, even so, come Lord Jesus. Amen.